So which of the following is true about bats? A, they're blind. B, they get tangled in your hair. C, they'll drink your blood as you sleep. D, none of the above. Or E, all of the above. To answer these and other questions is Organization for Bat Conservation Executive Director Rob Mize. The OBC brings their Live Bats of the World program to the Harris Nature Center next Saturday, September 21st at 1 and 3 p.m. And Rob Mize joins us now live here on Current State. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Hey, what are some of the, we got into some of the common misperceptions about bats. What are some of those common misperceptions?
Oh, there's many, maybe far too many. Blind as a bat. You know, you walk into a table and you hurt yourself. Oh, you're blind as a bat. There's no bats in the world that are blind. All bats could see. You know, our bats in Michigan, they're all small bats. They have small eyes and big ears, but they can see. But they use ultrasonic sounds called echolocation. And just like whales and dolphins, they bounce these sounds off of things, and they can tell tiny little objects like gnats in pitch darkness. The large bats that live in places like Africa and Australia can see great. They can see three to five times better than humans can. So blind as a bat's not true. The only thing I think maybe that a bat might get tangled in their hair was when beehives were, you know, the beehive hairdo was really popular. And maybe there was a lot of hairspray and bats tried to land and thought it was maybe a tree or something. I have no idea where that came from either. I mean, there's no bat in the world that builds a nest. We are a giant, scary predator that a bat would never land on, and they're not blind. So getting caught in somebody's hair seems really out of any type of reality.
It's just so intriguing visually that I think people just can't resist thinking of that possibility.
Well, you know, I think most of this revolves a lot around that they're nocturnal, and that nocturnal animals especially, scared us, still do, and we rely so much on our sight, and at night we rely on lights and not really, let's say, in, you know, knowledge. You know, when we see something scurry past us, we think it's a bear. You know, it's a mouse or something. And when we see, you know, when a bat flies by us at night, we don't hear its echolocation like we hear birds flying around, because echolocation is such a high-pitched sound. They fly really quickly. It kind of startles us. And then we grow up hearing things like, you know, bats drink our blood and have lots of diseases.
How many species of bats do we have here in mid-Michigan, Rob?
You know, in Michigan, we have 9 species of bats. In mid-Michigan, there's probably at least 6 of those 9 species that live there. All the bats in Michigan are insect eaters, and as a matter of fact, they're the primary predators of nighttime insects. They eat anywhere from 2,000 to 5,000 insects every single night, including annoying insects like flies, gnats, and mosquitoes. But actually, more importantly, they eat moths and beetles. And there's a lot of moths and beetles that are quite detrimental to both our crops, our gardens, and our forests.
You've touched on one of the advantages of bats here. Are there nuisance bats, though?
Yeah, just like nuisance people, you know, if they exist in places where we don't want them, they could definitely be an issue. You know, when bats move into people's houses, the primary reason is because their natural habitat doesn't exist. So typically, bats would live in dead or dying trees. So if the trees are cut down in a neighborhood, you know, when they're dead or dying because of, you know, insurance or even, you know, for risk, the bats have nowhere, literally nowhere to live, so they adapt. And they live in, you know, people's attics, behind their shutters, or in their garage.
What are their favorite habitats, though?
Yeah, I mean, natural habitat are dead and dying trees. That in mid-Michigan, that is the most important type of roost for bats. In other parts of the world, bats live in large numbers in caves, so they're able to warm it up during the summer because there's so many bats that live in those caves. But really here in Michigan, dead and dying trees are the key thing. The alternative, which we actually work with a lot of hundreds and hundreds of homeowners every year across the country, is to put up bat houses. And what a bat house does is it provides bats an alternative, and it keeps bats living outside. They don't live in our house. They stay living in our neighborhood, consuming large numbers of insects. And unfortunately, we have a lot less bats around today. So it's kind of a win-win by putting up bat houses.
Rob Myas is our special guest here on Current State. Rob is the executive director of the Organization for Bat Conservation, and the OBC brings its Live Bats of the World program to the Harris Nature Center next Saturday, September 21st at 1 and 3 p.m. How do we attract constructive bats, helpful bats?
Sure. And, you know, luckily, all of our bats in Michigan are really helpful. They, you know, they consume large numbers of insects. They're not really dangerous. If you ever find a bat on the ground, don't pick it up with your bare hands, just like you wouldn't pet a stray dog or cat. You know, we don't know if it has its shots. Rabies is very rare in the United States, thank goodness, because it is very common that we get our dogs and cats vaccinated. So, you know, you find a baby raccoon or a bat, you know, on the side of a tree, don't poke at it or play with it or pet it because it'll bite to defend itself. So really, bats are great to have in neighborhoods. And some of the key things are really, you know, putting up a bat house. We have plans on our website. It's batconservation.org. And right on the homepage, if people click bat houses, I did videos on how to build one. We have plans to download. And we also sell bat houses if people would rather not build one. The other thing that people can do is plant wildflower gardens. And I bet you've probably talked about some of these topics in the past, but we've really seen a giant reduction in animals like bees and butterflies and even birds. You know, the diversity of animals has unfortunately been going down. And one of the things that is easy for people to do in their backyards is to plant wildflower gardens or even potted wildflowers. And those, during the day, would bring in things like bees and butterflies and birds and even
The bats follow. Is that it?
And bats come at night because moths come at night to the flowers.
Okay.
And bats will eat lots of insects.
You referred to your website here a minute ago. I'd recommend any of our listeners who has not seen bats emerging from a bat house to visit batconservation.org. In preparing for this segment, I found a video there of bats emerging from a bat house in Florida, which is fun viewing. I found myself instinctively ducking to get out of the way, sitting
right
at my computer, but there you go. What is white nose syndrome, and how is it affecting Michigan bats? We have heard about this.
Yeah, you know, white nose syndrome is a fungus that accidentally got here from Europe about 10 years ago or so. And around 8 years ago, in just outside of Albany, New York, we saw some bats dying outside of a cave in, like, February, which is really weird. We never really see large numbers of bats dying. You might find a dead bat, but if you find a bunch of dead bats, it's probably that they've been poisoned or something. Because bats don't, you know, bats, they forage separately, but it was really strange. So what we found out was this fungus accidentally got here, and it grows in cold caves and mines during the winter. And there are about 45 species of bats in the United States, and about 25 of those 45 hibernate for the winter. They go into caves and mines. Now, they only have a certain amount of body fat stored up, and when they go into caves and mines, and this fungus, if it's present and it grows on them, it wakes them up too many times, and they end up starving before the winter is over. In the last 8 years, unfortunately, it's spread to 25 states, this year including Wisconsin, Michigan, and Mississippi. So it's far north and far south, 5 provinces in Canada, and we're estimating at least 1 million bats a year are dying from this fungus.
And remind us, Rob, what's happening at Harris Nature Center?
Harris Nature Center is a great opportunity for kids and adults of all ages to come and learn about bats from all over the world. We'll talk about bats that live right here in mid-Michigan. We have a local big brown bat, so we have some live rescued bats. People can come and see them up close and take some pictures and see what our bats look like. And then we have bats from Central America and Africa, some bats that are housed here that used to live in zoos. And so we have a really fun program that people can learn about bats, but then also consider putting up bat houses and planting wildflower gardens and ask any types of cool questions they have about bats.
That sounds really interesting. The Organization for Bat Conservation brings its Live Bats of the World program to the Harris Nature Center. That's Sunday, September 21st at 1 and 3 p.m. Our guest has been Rob Myas, Executive Director of the Organization for Bat Conservation. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.